so grateful being able to be here today. And I thank you, Lord, that even as I share your word, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that as your word goes out, it does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. And Lord, in all that is said and all that is done here this morning, may you alone receive all the praise and the honor and the glory. And we just say thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, today's going to be a bit different. I'm not preaching. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be preaching here today. So what I'm going to be doing is really sharing. It's going to be more of a Bible study today. Is that okay? Sometimes it's good that we come to church and we hear a Bible study. And the thing is that this Bible study that I'm going to be sharing, I think, is probably one of the most important messages that we need to hear and that we need to kind of process and that we need to act on. And I've titled my message today, Time to Raise Our Faith Level. It is time to raise our faith level. Folks, we are living in very, very strange times. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, we need to be men and women of faith. And in fact, as we go through it, we'll see why. But it's so important that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we are those that embrace this faith journey, because it is a faith journey. And, you know, I know that so often in the messages that I share, I do, you know, put little snippets in, we speak about faith. But it's been more than 3 years since I last dedicated or committed a Sunday morning speaking about faith. So I want to do that here this morning. And really, we serve an amazing God. Isn't that true? And God has done so much for each and every single one of us. And really, as believers, our ultimate goal should be those that want to please the Father. Right? We need to desire, have a desire in us continually as Christians to please the Father. And we have to be honest with ourselves that we have to ask ourselves questions when we gather together like this, when we sit around the Word. Are we pleasing Him? Are you pleasing the Father? Am I pleasing the Father? The Word is very clear. We see in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we can see the importance of faith right there. So if we truly want to be those who are God pleasers, those that please our Heavenly Father, faith needs to be evident in our lives. Now, the question again is faith evident in your life? Is faith evident in my life? Right? Now, the Word of God, in fact, it says four times in the Bible, throughout the Bible, it says, the just shall live by faith. We see it in Habakkuk 2 verse 4. We see it in Romans 1. Verse 17, in Galatians 3:11. We see it in Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. And if you are a child of God, if you are born again, you are then the just. Tell the person next to you, I'm the just. And we are the just, and folks, we need to be those who are living by faith. All of us who are believers in Jesus, we're the just. Okay? And we, you know, when God says to us the same thing four times in His Word, He says it over and over and over and over again, He must be telling us something that is very, very important. And I believe it is. The Word does not suggest, nowhere does the Word of God suggest that we as Christians, that we live by faith. It's an instruction and it's a command that we live by faith. Romans 1, verse 17, the B part of that verse says, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And if we live by faith, am I right in saying that we don't first have to see things that we are trusting God for? Is that right? We don't have to first see it. The scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7, says, we live by faith and not by sight. So we don't have to first see it. If we are trusting the Lord for something like that. And then, you know, you talk to people in the world out there, they will tell you, they will say, I will believe it when I see it. As believers in Jesus, we believe it and then we see it. And that's just the way it is. That's what faith is. And I really, as I was pondering about this, folks, so much has been stolen, you know, from us as believers, from us as children of the Most High. And that's because of the fact that many, many people associate faith with a name it and claim it message or name it and claim it gospel. And unfortunately, there have been many churches that have gone out there and it's really just a name it and claim it. And as a result of that, there are many really good churches have held back on teaching on this very, very important topic because they do not want to be associated with a name it and claim it gospel. Hebrews 11:1 gives us a wonderful, wonderful biblical definition of what faith is. And I'm going to be reading it from the WIS translation, which says, now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things which are not seen. The title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things that are not seen. Folks, faith is present tense. It says now faith is. Not tomorrow faith will be or yesterday was. Huh? Now faith is. The title deed, what does that mean? It shows legal ownership. If you have a title deed, it shows legal ownership of something. So therefore, faith gives you and I the legal ownership for the things that you and I are trusting God for. This is not complicated. Faith is a proof or the evidence of things which are not yet seen. Question. So what are the benefits then? You know, what are the benefits to me of having faith? You know, what are the reasons why you and I should desire to have faith? Galatians 3:9 says, So those who have faith, which I believe is all of us, are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Wow. If you and I have faith, we are blessed as Abraham was blessed. And you need to go and have a look in the Bible and see the blessings that God poured out upon Abraham. And basically the word is saying that if we truly operate in the faith that we should be operating in, we should receive the blessings that Abraham received. Okay, and that wasn't just in one area of his life. You go and have a look. It is in many, many areas of his life. And this verse basically says that there are incredible, amazing blessings for you and I as children of the Most High that are just waiting there for us if we have faith. How are we doing? I'm going to give us a lot of scriptures here today. All right? So, and I'll post, we'll put this message on the website and I'll get it out to us. But unless you're taking notes, you're going to miss, you know, some of this. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, will it be done to you? How many of you remember reading that in the Bible? According to your faith, will it be done to you? Now, this was Jesus and the blind men. And Jesus, when they requested that Jesus would heal their sight, and Jesus said to them, according to your faith, will it be done for you? I want to ask you, and I'm talking to me, what healings would actually take place if Jesus said the same thing to you and he said the same thing to me? According to your faith, will it take place? Will you see incredible signs and wonders and healings taking place, or will there be absolutely nothing that takes place? So folks, according to our faith, and that's why we need to be men and women of faith. James 5:15, and the prayer offered in faith, listen to this, will, not might, will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. Isn't that powerful? Huh? Amazing. This is, folks, we need to embrace these scriptures. We need to embrace them. So we need to have faith in our heart that there is an expectation when you are laying hands on somebody, that it's not, well, okay, the word says, you know, we just lay hands. That there's an expectation in your heart and my heart when we lay hands on people that they will recover, because this is what the word of God says. And somehow we've kind of diluted all of this. So then the question probably should be, you know, is it important for us to have faith? And I want to have a look at a number of scriptures here this morning, and let's just see what the word says about this. Galatians 3 verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How's that? The first one we're looking at here is that even your salvation, you getting born again, you becoming a child of God, is as a result of faith, stepping out in faith. And folks, we cannot receive salvation unless we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to receive salvation. He is the only way. It's only through Jesus. And we are saved by grace, which, what is grace? Grace is that undeserved favor. We don't deserve salvation. It's grace is that it's not deserved, unmerited favor. So we are saved by grace through faith. That's how we receive salvation. We see in 1 Timothy 6:12, we must fight the good fight of faith. Interesting. There is going to be opposition to you and I walking in faith. That is why it's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight, and you and I, as believers in Jesus, we need to be ready and prepared for that battle. Ephesians 6:16. This is an interesting one. The shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. So get the picture. So if we've got faith, it's a shield. We need to have faith around us, a big shield. Is that right? So when the evil one is shooting his fiery darts at us, the shield actually protects us. And the shield is there to protect us in a raging battle. And whether you believe it or not, you and I, as believers in Jesus, are in a battle. There's an enemy out there who comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And we need to be ready and prepared for this in this battle. And we need to make sure, folks, that our faith is big faith. That we have a big shield. You don't want to walk around, you know, where this scripture says the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts. And your faith is as big as a plate. Oh, what do you call it? Plate. That you eat with. Eat on. Can you imagine that? You're holding your little shield. Jumping all over, trying to catch all the fiery darts of the evil one as he's shooting them at us. Folks, that's having little faith. We need to have big faith that we are protected. We can just get behind our faith and we don't have to jump around and try to protect ourselves, you know, with a little shield like that. So our faith will protect us from the bullets that the evil one fires at us. His demons and devils and whatever it is. We are protected. I'll read it again. The shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. James 1 verse 7. Here's another one. Talks about faith. It says, without faith, we receive nothing from God. Is that right? Without faith, we receive nothing from God. Then he goes on to say, he who doubts, so this is the person that has very little faith, right? He who doubts is like the wave that is rising one moment, waving the sea, sinking the next, one minute saying yes to what God has promised, and then saying no the next time, never making up his mind which way he believes. Listen what he says about us if we fall into this category. He, that person, is a double-minded man and is unstable in all that he does. So if you are like that, it's not just one area of your life that you're unstable. He says you are unstable in all that we do. Amen. So don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's what it's basically saying. If we are not operating in faith, if we don't build up our faith. Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience. Those two together. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And folks, there are many, many promises in the Word of God for us as believers. Many promises. But if you want to embrace and you want to receive those promises, there's something that we have to do. We have to exercise faith and patience right there. You know, so be aware of the fact that patience, when patience is mixed with faith, this is how you and I are able to experience and receive the promises that God states and stipulates in the Word. Now, I want to give us some handles. Okay. You know, well, I want to, but Jesus has given us two vital, vital keys to help us with faith. The first one, and think about this. The first one is that we must speak it out. We need to open our mouths and start to use our authority, our vocal cords, opening up our mouths and start to speak to things. Because there is power and authority in the words that we speak. Right? So the first thing that Jesus says is that we must speak it out. And then Jesus says that we must believe in our heart as well. Now, I'm going to speak about how do we get, I'll do that right now, but how do we get it to come from our heart and not from our head? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I'm sure you have. I have. Well, hopefully we've got some answers to that. But I want to read Mark 11:23. I just love this verse. Jesus saying, he says, "For verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever shall," what does it say? "Whoever shall think." Oh, no. Yeah. "Whoever shall say," folks, "say," that means, and not think, because so often we don't open our mouths, we keep our mouths closed and we think it, and we think we're praying, and yes, maybe we are, but Jesus is telling us specifically, he says, "Whoever shall say," open your mouth and talk, "to this mountain." What is a mountain in your life? You need to talk to your mountain. Your mountain might be sickness. Your mountain might be lack of finances. Your mountain might be bad relationships. Basically, what Jesus is saying to us, we need to open our mouths and start to speak to our mountains. Let me read it again. "For verily I say unto you that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart," I'll speak about that now, "but shall believe those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." Folks, this is so important. Opening up our mouths, and we need to start to get vocal. There's power in the spoken word. So the question now is, so how do I get my words of faith, as we read here in Mark 11:23, to actually come from the heart and not from the head? Because have you ever found that? You're praying, but you think, "No, is this coming from the heart or is this coming from my head? Am I just saying it?" Well, let's see what the word says. In Romans 10, verse 17, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, I know I touched on this a few weeks ago. That word, word, whenever you see the word, word in the Bible, it can either be the Logos word of God or the Rhema word of God. One of the two. We're talking about scripture here. So it says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that word, word there is Rhema. It's the Rhema word. And folks, when you and I start to, I'll discuss what Rhema and Logos is now, but when you and I start to confess the Rhema word of God in our confessions, when it's the rhema word of God that we are speaking, it is coming from the heart. If you are speaking the rhema word of God, it is coming from your heart. If we confess logos, and many of us do, no faith result will be seen. You will not see any signs and wonders, things happening, if we are just communicating the logos word of God. So the question is now, what is the difference between rhema and logos? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Okay. Again, remembering that both of them are the word. Folks, the logos is the sum of God's utterances. The sum of God's utterances. Jesus is the living word. Jesus is the living logos. Huh? Rhema, this is the important one, is that word that is made alive to you. It's made alive to you in your heart by the Holy Spirit in your time of need. And what happens when the logos word becomes rhema, what happens is you start to have faith, you start to feel strengthened, there's encouragement, there's a whole lot of things. I touched on this a couple of weeks ago, I think the scripture, it says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Is that right? Is that scripture? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You can say that until the cows come home. Because one of the problems are that people start to confess this, by the stripes of Jesus, and it's because I'm saying it, it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're saying it. By the stripes of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. 3 days later, 10 days, by the stripes of Jesus, okay, wonderful. When that, by the stripes of Jesus, becomes revelation to you and becomes the rhema word of God, it is at that point that it moves from being logos to becoming rhema, and it is powerful. That is when it becomes powerful. So we need to take a scripture, like a healing scripture, and we meditate on the healing scripture until we get a real, where the Holy Spirit just reveals something to us, where that logos word now becomes the rhema word. And at that point, when we have that revelation, that is when the word of God becomes powerful. Otherwise, we're just parrots. We're just mouthing it off and thinking, because I'm saying it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay? And this is all about our faith work. So then the question is, so what must our spirit feed on in order that we grow in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew 4:4. But he answered and he said to them, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. In other words, you not just your medium rare steak and the food that you get on your table, right? This is the physical side of it. That's good for our physical body. But folks, we are a spirit being. So we need to feed our spirits as well. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now you go and look up that word, and you will see that it's not logos. It is the rhema word. That is a word where the Holy Spirit has released something on the inside of us, where we've got an understanding of it, where we have a revelation. This is so important, okay? I mean, if we really embrace what I'm sharing here this morning, it's going to change the way we walk out our walk. Another scripture, this is Jesus speaking again in John 15:7. Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words, Jesus' words, abide in you, let me stop right there. That word is not logos. It is the rhema. So he says, telling us, if you abide in me, and my rhema words, the words that I've spoken to you, that you have pondered over, that you have a revelation of, if they abide in you, then he says, ask. Verbalizing it again, speaking it out, ask, speak it out, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now you can see how close this could be to like a name it and claim it scenario. And we have to just, folks, put that thing out of our minds and let's take the Word of God and apply God's Word the way that He wants us to embrace it. So God responds to His Word when His people have revelation of it and when we speak it out. That's what happens. And what's interesting about this, folks, because faith, you know, when we are exercising faith, you know, and we're speaking things out, those two things, verbalizing it and we exercise in faith, do you know that it can work positively and negatively for you? We have to be very, very careful because many people continually say negative stuff, they verbalize in it, maybe speaking, you know, over their children, speaking negative things over their children, they say in it, they're starting to believe it, and they start to, you know, faith rises for that thing. And because there is power in the spoken word, you know, we've got a problem on our hands. So be very, very careful that when we speak, that we are speaking life into situations. And I know in this nation of ours, it's so easy to, we catch ourselves all the time, eh? Speaking negative. But we need to make it, maybe even today, make a decision the best that we can, that we start speaking. If we open in our mouths, there's power in our words, that we start speaking life into a situation. Because the evil one will take our negative confessions, turn those things around, and, you know, we're going to have a problem right there. And, in fact, the Bible talks about this. You know, what we say, it says in Proverbs 6:2, thou art entangled, or you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are snared. Every time we speak in, it's like we're setting a little trap for ourselves because we are not saying what we should be saying. I'm asking us today, okay, are we working, you know, on these things to kind of increase our faith and make sure that, you know, we're saying the right things. And what's interesting, another thing about faith, do you know that we've all, once you get born again, do you know that we've all been given the same amount of faith? The Word says, let me read it to you. Well, it says in Romans 12, verse 3. I made a note of that. So we have all been given the same. It's basically a meter. I did a study on this many years ago. I remember doing this. So you born again, Krisha gets a meter of faith. Okay. Amanda gets a meter of faith. Phil gets a meter of faith. Okay. Marie, you get a meter of faith. We all get the meter of faith. And what are we going to do with that meter? The objective is that we get the meter of faith because, in fact, the Greek word is metron, which is a meter. Okay? So we get the meter of faith. Are you and I working at increasing our meter of faith so that our meter becomes 10 meters, becomes a kilometer, becomes 10 kilometers, becomes 100 kilometers? And that's what we need to be doing. We've all been given the same when we start out. But the thing is, and some people don't understand this, that we are all not on the same faith level. Do you know that? I want to talk about that for a moment, just to show us in the Word of God, because sometimes people get, they think, oh, you know, but we're all men and women of faith. Yes, we are. But we are all at different faith levels according to Scripture. Now, it says in James, I'm going to give us a few examples of this. In James 2, verse 21 to 23, Abraham arrived at a level of perfect faith. And that is maybe something that we should be striving for. It says in James 2, verse 17, faith without corresponding actions is dead faith. So we see you can have perfect faith, you can have dead faith. And that dead faith is those of us who hear the Word of God and we just don't do it. Many people, many Christians, hearers of the Word of God, but just don't do the Word of God. And that's dead faith. Romans 14:1 says, we must accept the one who is weak in faith. So some people are weak in faith. Some people, there's perfect faith, there's dead faith, there's weak faith. And folks, let me say, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we see somebody that is weak in faith, let's encourage them, you know. Let's spend time with them, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Let's try to help them to get into the Word of God so that their faith levels rise. We encourage them. We also see in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said that he could not cast out demons because of their littleness or their littleness of faith. Do you remember when he went into his hometown? So we see there's perfect faith, dead faith, weak faith, there's littleness of faith. What's interesting about that verse, and this is important, I think, that a lack of faith, you and I having a lack of faith, affects our authority over the powers of darkness. That's what he's saying. If we have small faith, it affects our effectiveness over the powers of darkness. And then just the last one I want to mention, Matthew 8 verse 10, Jesus said to the Roman centurion, never have I seen such great faith. So you can see different levels, great faith, little faith, weak faith, perfect faith, dead faith. There's a whole lot of different levels. But you and I should strive to be those that are strong in our faith. And when you think you're strong, I've got good news for you. There's more. There's more. There's more. So, folks, we need to realize that it's all about Him. It's all about the King. The kingdom of God. And it's not about your comfort or my comfort or us being selfish or any of those things. Bottom line is that the Lord has blessed you and I to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, when the Rhema word of God is spoken out in faith, it is full of godly power. That's the summary of what I'm saying here. The Rhema word, and of course, and we still use the name of Jesus because there is power and authority in the name of Jesus. So the power, this power I'm talking about, will change your situation. It will change all situations to line up with the will of our Heavenly Father. And this is what we just need to be in His will, so that we can please Him. Right. Now, this, what I'm going to speak about now, is a kind of faith that God wants you and I to have. Are you ready for it? Huh? I'm reading from Romans 4, verse 17. Listen to this. God calls things that are not as though they were. How's that? If God calls things that are not as if they were, then you and I should be calling things that are not as if they were, because the word is very clear that you and I have been created in the image of God. So if God does that and we created in His image, we should be calling those things that are not as if they were. We should be calling our bodies healed even when we have the symptoms of sickness. We can see the symptoms of sickness, but we don't start to confess that. We start to do what God does, and we call those things that are not as if they are. Now this talks a little bit about Abraham. It says, verse 18, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed and so became the father of many nations without weakening in faith, right? So he's like 100 years old and Sarah is 99. I think those are the numbers, right? So he could look and say, man, for her to fall pregnant, you know. But he didn't, okay? Against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed, so he became a father of many nations. Without weakening in faith, he could see that his body, he's looking at his body, was as good as dead. And Sarah's womb was also dead. But God had a surprise for him. Huh? Huh? Here's little Isaac at that age. Folks, it's not done until it's done. It's not over until it's over. I'm just saying this. So this kind of faith we're talking about here that is never moved by circumstances. I hear that so often. People say, you know, under the circumstances this, and under the circumstances. If you believe in Jesus, you're not under the circumstances. In fact, tell the person next to you, I am not under the circumstances. Huh? We're not under the circumstances. Okay? So this kind of faith that we're talking about here, believers, you know, we confess what the Word of God says, and this is what we need to be doing. And we, first of all, I also need to say this, you know, we need to know what the will of God is in certain situations so that we can pray in faith. Is that true? Yeah. Now, how many of you know that it is God's will that we walk in health? Put up your hand if you believe that. Folks, you're right. It is God's will that we walk in divine health, that we walk healed. Now, if you go, and I've heard this, man, you go and pray for somebody for healing, and then you go up to them because you've got no faith, and then you walk up to them, oh, if it be your will, Father, if it's your will, heal this man. How can you be in faith by saying, if it's your will, when we know we... The only way that we're ever going to know what the will of God is to read the will of God, which is the Word of God. We need to know what's in the Word of God. So, folks, when it comes to these sort of things, especially with healings and so on, we need to know what the will of God is so that we are able to pray with faith. Is that right? Now, where was I? Or where am I? Oh, okay. Found it. So, basically, old Abraham, right? You know, he was strengthened and he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what God said he would do. And he was full of faith for that. Now, take a note of the fact that you cannot be in a place of exercising faith and be in a place of fear at the same time. Have you ever thought about that? You can't be in faith and fear at the same time. Because if you are in faith, there's not going to be any fear around you. It's like I said the other day too. You know, you can go into a dark room where it's pitch black. You turn on a light, the light will expel the darkness. It's exactly the same when it comes to this, folks. That if you are in faith and there's fear, well, fear is just not going to hang around where there's faith. You know, you can't have the two hanging around together. Another good reason that we need to build up our faith. Linked to all of this is that something that we have to be very mindful of is negative thoughts. Don't let negative thoughts now affect your faith. This is a big one. Okay, now this is an internal thing. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive. So when we have thoughts that are coming through our head, right, you know that even a negative thought is not a sin until you allow it to hang around there. I'm just saying, you know, we need to kick it out. So basically what he's saying, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Don't believe the lie. When we start to have those negative thoughts, we need to know that this is not from the Lord. We need to take that thought captive. It's like grabbing that thought and putting it in jail so that it has absolutely no freedom. Don't allow it, folks. Don't allow it, okay? So wrong thinking can affect our faith walk. We need to be mindful of that. Philippians 4:8, it says that our minds must dwell on whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and is of good report. That's what it says. Now, I want to just, as I finish off here, what about us having faith in the Word of God in the area of healing? Because this is something that we are all confronted with. People get sick. Is that true? What does the Word of God say about this? So I'm just going to share a few scriptures, and if you feel that you need a touch from the Lord in the area of healing, please listen very carefully, because all I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm not no fancy prayer. I can't heal anybody, But I'm going to do what the Word says. I'm going to lay hands on you and trust for an impartation of God's healing power, God's healing anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, whatever sickness is there. Okay? So this is what the Word says. Psalm, and I'm Old Testament, New Testament. Psalm 107:20. He, God, sent His Word and healed them. Jeremiah 1:12. I am watching over, this is God saying, I'm watching over my word. So he's seen where his word is being, how can I say, released with power and with, you know, the rhema word of God. He says, I am watching over my word to perform it. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord who heals you. New Testament, Acts 10:38. Jesus healed all, not some, all who were under the power of the devil. And folks, let me just say this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if Jesus healed all who were under the power of the devil 2,000 years ago, Jesus is still the same today. He is still healing all who is under the power of the devil in 2026. Matthew 8:16. Jesus drove out all the spirits with the word, and he healed all the sick. 1 Peter 2:24. By his wounds you have been healed. We were healed, past tense, 2,000 years ago. And if we were healed 2,000 years ago, that means that we are healed today. And again, I said, we are the healed resisting sickness, not the sick trying to get healed. That's a wonderful phrase. We need to see it like that. So folks, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe that we've heard a lot of scripture here this morning. I know that. So we've heard it. There must be a lot of faith in this place this morning. And of course, that is pleasing to God, because that will please God, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And the Lord wants His people to be set free this morning. So, if that's you, and you, as I said, this is not going to be a fancy long prayer, but if you need me to pray for you, I'm just the contact, eh? Right? Please come forward if you need to be prayed for in the area of healing here specifically this morning. And once you have been prayed for, don't start to nullify what the Lord is doing by your negative confessions. Because so often we do that. You know, we hear a message like this, we come forward, we receive prayer, and then somebody says to you, and how are you feeling? And we can't wait to tell them how sick we are. We can't wait. You know, we tell them how sick we are. So let's not do that. Watch our confessions. Okay. Folks, if you need prayer,